Come with me now and I'll show you something more. Tahotep leads me under two large circular plates that hang from the ceiling and serve as lamps. They both have the same 12 pictures but running in opposite sequence and facing in opposite directions. On the first plate the pictures all have their heads towards the center, while on the second their heads are all toward the circumference. And the sequence from right to left on one is just the opposite of the sequence of the other. Tahotep leads me to the first circle and asks, "When do you see the pictures in the circle right side up?" "Always, from any point along the side, Father." Then Tahotep leads me to the second circle and asks, "How do you sequence these pictures?" "All of them have their heads down, just the opposite of the pictures in the other circle, and they're all in the opposite sequence," I answer. "Now try to find the spot from which you can see all of these pictures right side up and in the right sequence." I look at the figures and as I want to see them right, with their heads up, I involuntarily step over to a point precisely under, and consequently precisely in the center of a disc. And all of a sudden all the figures seem to change their positions. Now they're all standing right side up and in the correct sequence. I turn around slowly, continuing to stand in the center. Each and every one of the figures is right side up. But when I move only a single step to the side, they're all the wrong way round again. I step back into the center. Consciously and deeply moved, I experience the state of being. I understand what it means. The excitement of the discovery almost makes me dizzy. Seeing how thrilled and moved I am, Tahotep smiles. "Do you understand now," he asks, "why the personal is always the exact opposite of the divine? Do you understand why human script runs from left to right while the divine runs from right to left?" "Yes, Father of my soul," I stammer, trembling with excitement. "I do understand." Tahotep takes my hand in his. Oh, how quickly the mighty power of this blessed hand calms me, and leads me to a large blackboard where I see various geometric figures. "The earth," he continues, "receives the 12-fold radiation of force of the four faces of God from the direction of various constellations of stars. Taken together, these constellations surround us like a wheel. We call this huge wheel the zodiac. It's owing to the effect of the radiations of the zodiac that the earth can exist at all. Their vibrations met in a point in cosmic space, causing an interference in the waves of energy and leading to condensation. Materialization. Little by little our earth came into being through this process of materialization. As the sun played a great role in this process, the earth grew in the field of force of the sun and became its satellite. It receives its life energy from the sun, but it also is constantly receiving radiations from the zodiac and from its sister planets of our solar system. Just like all the celestial bodies, the earth represents the materialization of all these various radiations, and that's why for each step of earthly creation there is a form of materialization which primarily manifests the specific energy of the great cosmic wheel appropriate for the form of materialization concerned. That is to say that in rock formations, minerals, plants, animals and human beings here on Earth there are the materialized radiations of each individual constellation of the zodiac, as well as of each individual planet. The names of the signs of the zodiac characterize the earthly forms that are the materialized manifestations of the constellations concerned. When you see a lion, for example, you should remember that on the animal plane he is the materialized radiation of the particular zodiacal sign we call Leo or Lion. But at the same time there are minerals, plants and people made up of the same energy, but on the mineral, plant or human plane. Since the name of each individual sign of the zodiac is also the name of the form created by the materialized radiation from this zodiacal sign, this name is obviously the most appropriate single word with which to characterize perfectly the radiation from this constellation. The four faces of God, that is the four cardinal points, in the vault of stars, in the divine condition of being, are, each face of God, each cardinal point of the vault of heaven, contains within itself the three aspects of the unmanifested divinity, And so the 12 signs of the zodiac come into being, the three fiery aspects of the first face of God, of the first group, are revealed in three constellations called Aries, Leo and Sagittarius. The lion is the first manifestation of God and consequently the great father of the entire zodiac. That's why all three manifestations of the first face of God have a fatherly, life-giving character. The ram, Aries, radiates the fire of youth, the procreative power of the young father who penetrates the bosom of nature, awakens new life, and sets it in motion. The ram is the power of spring, which in its effect is just as wild and heedless, just as ramish as the ram itself. The lion is the fire of the perfectly developed, dignified and respectable man, the mature father who radiates his creative power, his love and warmth towards all his children as he brings them up in affectionate care. The lion is the power of summer. The centaur, Sagittarius, is a being that has grown beyond its animal nature, overcome its physical desires and aimed its consciousness towards the high goal. The four faces of God in the divine state of being. Its radiation is the fire of the spirit, of the wise and mellow father who goes on helping his mature children with his spirituality, good thoughts and sage advice. The centaur or Sagittarius is the spiritual fire of thought, the power of age, of winter. The three aspects of the second group, of the earthly material face of God are, Taurus, Virgo and Capricornus, or the bull, the virgin and the goat. All three manifestations of this face of God reveal a motherly character. In the springtime the bull stands in a green meadow, and all of nature is decked out in the beautiful clothing of a bride on her wedding day, ready to receive all the procreative power of her bridegroom. The radiation of the zodiacal sign of the bull enables the earth to receive the fiery power of life and let it take root. Thus the divine seed is able to incarnate itself in an earthly body. The bull radiation makes it possible for the divine self, the creative principle, the logos, to become flesh. The bull awakens the power of conception in matter, in the female of the species, calling the bride to readiness. The bull represents that aspect of incipient maternity in which the mother-to-be is ready to conceive. Virgo, the virgin, is the spotless queen of heaven, the mother goddess of nature who has never been touched by a male and yet is pregnant with myriad creatures that are born from her divine body. The power of the sign of the virgin is the fertility of nature, and that's why she is shown holding in her hand a spike of grain with five kernels. In the mystic world the virgin is the human soul which, purged of all earthly dross, has become spotless and has received the divine seed from the Spirit of God. Thus she is expecting the divine child in which both principles, the divine and the material, are blended into perfect unity. Thus Virgo is the pregnant, expectant aspect of maternity. The third aspect of the earthly face of God is Capricorn, the goat. Thin animal lives in the region of the hardest matter on earth, stones, rocks and boulders. The centripetal force of the law of matter causes matter to reach the highest degree of hardness and consequently crystallize. In the crystal, matter overcomes itself, losing its original characteristic of opacity and becoming perfectly transparent. In the crystal, matter reveals the original geometric forms of the creative power. A child, too, is the solidified, crystallized form of the divine creative power of life. Through the law of matter, through the centripetal, compressive power of concentration, the achievement of the divine self, the divine child, consciousness, is born in the soul of man. As long as man identifies his consciousness with his animal instincts, he is like a stable in which animals are living. In this stable and surrounded by animals, the divine child, the divine consciousness, must be born. This takes place through the concentrating effect of the sign of Capricornus. The only path which can lead man back to unity, back into the lost paradise, is that of concentration. That's why the birth of the divine child is celebrated in the month when the sun stands in the sign of the goat. The radiation of this center of force helps man fully to manifest and achieve the divine in and through matter, in the body. Capricornus is the parturient aspect of the maternal. The three aspects of the third group, the vaporous face of God, are Gemini, Libra and Aquarius, or the twins, the balance and the water bearer. The vaporous combination state arising through this radiation gives movement. That's why these three constellations are favorable for the manifestation of forces which require free and unhindered movement. They are spiritual in character. The sign of the twins carries within itself the two halves of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Its radiation takes effect in two directions. It causes man to look to the left and to the right in order to gather knowledge and experience. It causes man's pathway through life to branch out like the limbs of a tree. Man goes forth to seek knowledge on the most devious paths that lead off in various directions. Seeking experience, people want to see everything, hear everything, learn everything. The radiated power of Gemini manifests itself as the urge to learn. The radiation of the Libra constellation forces everything into equilibrium. All the experiences man has collected are laid in the scales of the balance and weighed. What's valuable is kept, what's worthless is thrown away. The effect of the balance is one of harmony, developing man's powers of discrimination, and bringing the two-sided forces of Gemini into equilibrium. The sign of the balance radiates the law of equilibrium and justice into the three-dimensional world. It is the manifestation of law-giving knowledge. The constellation Aquarius radiates the knowledge that has been gathered under the sign of the twins, weighed in the balance, found worthwhile and codified into laws. The radiated energy of this sign brooks no let or hindrance and knows no bounds. The water bearer gives, passes on treasures to others. Untiringly pours the water of life out of his vessel, letting its waves flow onto the remotest worlds. These waves are the all-vitalizing high frequencies of the spirit. The water bearer is the manifestation of the unhindered spirit freed of all bonds. The three aspects of the fourth group, the aqueous face of God, are the crab, the eagle, scorpion, and fishes, or Cancer, Scorpio and Pisces. The three manifestations of this face of God have an emotional character which manifests itself in feelings. The zodiacal sign crab symbolizes the little water of the hole in which the crab lives. After it has caught its prey outside, it withdraws into its hole to digest it. The consciousness which was directed towards the outside in order to find spiritual nourishment withdraws to digest and transform its prey. The impressions it has collected, into clarified and organized experiences. The radiated power of the zodiacal sign of the crab manifests itself as the introspective, self-analyzing consciousness of the truth-seeking individual. The sign of the scorpion eagle represents the great turning point when the crawling worm is transformed into a high-flying eagle, redeemed, a being that has awakened and become conscious in the divine self. The worm, scorpion, must kill itself in order to become an eagle. That's why this constellation has a double name. In its unredeemed condition it is called scorpion after the animal that can kill itself with its own sting. In its redeemed condition it is called eagle, symbolizing the free soul flying high above the material world like the divine falcon Horus. The radiation of this constellation is the driving force, the fire of life, which manifests itself in this form through water, through the fluids of the body. This force enables the spirit to clothe itself in matter in order to be born anew in the body. This energy is the original serpent of temptation, enticing the spirit into matter and causing its fall from paradisiacal unity. When, however, instead of operating in the material plane, this force is transformed and transmuted, becoming purely spiritual, sexual desire is transformed into an uplifting force which helps the fallen consciousness return into paradisiacal unity. Without this force, no consciousness that has fallen from unity can find its way back into God. The water of this constellation is like a swamp in which hidden fermentation is going on and over which, without actually burning, little fiery will-o'-the-wisps are dancing. The fishes dwell in the endless ocean. Although they sometimes come to the surface, They submerge again and disappear in the immeasurable depths. The true nature of man is similar to the ocean. His consciousness is on the surface, but by far the greater and a deeper part of him lies in the unconscious, where the reasons and the roots of his thoughts, words and deeds originate. On the other hand, the person who has achieved redemption and attained complete and perfect recognition of self, whose consciousness has been initiated in his divine self and achieved realization in his self, no longer has a subconscious and a superconscious. That is to say, there is no longer a part of him that is unconscious. Figuratively speaking, he swims, completely conscious, in the depths of the limitless ocean of the divine all-consciousness. With the unredeemed person recognizes, or often enough, does not recognize, as the unconscious has become his home and element in which he is perfectly conscious. The two manifestations of sex, the male and female, are as happy as two carefree fish in the ocean of perfect harmony. The effect of the sign of the fishes is redemption, dissolving away the personal in the impersonal, in the depth of the limitless self, in the divine and indivisible unity of all one being. The great work of redemption is completed by the radiation of this power. The spiritualization of matter is achieved. You see, the three aspects of each triangle are related. Starting on the material plane, they progress upward in the direction of spiritualization. But there's not only a relationship between the three aspects of each of the faces of God. The four triangles are actually so related that their centers are identical. In this way they make up the zodiacal circle of 12 revelations, much that the various aspects of the four triangles form an interrelated series of steps in development and progress. Then there is still a third relationship between the individual constellations, namely the one between opposite constellations, each of which is a complementary half of the other. First, let's discuss the relationship of the steps high development. The series naturally begins with the constellations of the Ram, as the beginning of all expressions of life, and hence the beginning of springtime, lies in the Ram. But you should take note of the fact that there are two beginnings of springtime, one absolute and one relative. Every manifestation of life, including the earth and all the creatures living on it, carries within itself the absolute beginning of spring or springtime point. This absolute springtime point is independent of the outside world. On the other hand, the relative springtime point depends on the position of the stars at any given moment. Thus, because of the various movements of the earth, it doesn't stay at the same place but is constantly changing its position. We'll go into all this more thoroughly later. The signs of the zodiac run in this sequence: Ram, Bull, Twins, Crab, Lion, Virgin, Balance, Scorpion, Eagle, Centaur, Goat, Water Bearer, Fishes. Everything that condenses into matter is manifested on the material plane and runs high its own lifetime through the full circle of a zodiac. The life of the individual human being is one great period that is divided up into smaller periods: childhood, youth, maturity and senility. These in turn break down into still smaller periods: years, seasons, months, weeks and lastly days. All the shorter periods of man's life too, days, years and so on, also run through the full circle of the zodiac. His birth corresponds to the Ram. Then one after the other, he runs through all the signs of the zodiac, reaching maturity in the Lion and dying under the sign of the Fishes when he disappears from the material plane. In just the same way our days begin with our awakening from sleep and appearing in the world. The day develops, reaches maturity and its culmination point at midday and then starts to decline. After further changes we come to the evening when we put away our bodies to rest and sleep, withdrawing our consciousness into the self and falling asleep, just as we do at the end of our earthly lives when we put away our bodies for the last time. Every period has its beginning, development, culmination, decline and dissolution. The individual signs of the zodiac have the following main characteristics. The Ram sees to it that something appears or is born in this world in the first place, And this is equally true when the actual time of birth doesn't fall under the sign of the ram. That's because every birth, irrespective of the outside world and of course irrespective of the various constellations, carries within itself the power of the beginning, and this power we call the ram both outside in the vault of the stars and inside each individual being. That's the absolute side of the ram in every created form. And the relationship is just the same with all the other constellations, with all manifestations of life, and with all the aspects of the four faces of God. There is always an inner, absolute manifestation and an outer, relative manifestation. After birth, every new creature must get its roots down wherever it is. This it does with the help of the bull. The new creature takes in food and assimilates it. This gives it a material connecting link with the outer world and creates a line of supply for its body. Under the influence of the sign of the twins, the new creature begins to gather experience, and his pathways begin to diverge, going into all kinds of ramifications like the branches of a tree. The creature develops in different directions and gains extensive knowledge. In the crab it draws back into its home again to digest its spiritual gains, the experiences it has gathered. Its inner core begins to develop. Through the life-giving, fiery effect of the lion, the creature matures and gains dignity. It develops its powers and abilities and fulfills its earthly duty of begetting a new generation. It becomes father of a family. The virgin brings the harvest. Man brings the fruits of his labors into his barn. In the depths of his soul the divine child, universal love, develops. In the balance his deeds are weighed, the positive and negative credited and debited against each other. His attention is directed towards both sides, on the one hand the worldly and on the other the spiritual. Within himself he brings these two worlds into a perfect equilibrium, putting into effect the inner, divine law which stands above and beyond everything that's relative. The sign of the scorpion brings the solstice, the great turning point. Man must spiritualize the divine creative power which so far has manifested itself within him as a driving instinct and urge. He must now utilize this divine creative power in the service of others. This means he must completely overcome his person. He experiences the mystic death of his person, then resurrection and immortality in spirit. From now on he ceases to serve materialism. High up above the earth, in perfect spiritual freedom, he flies like an eagle, like the sacred falcon Horus. Through the effect of a centaur he becomes a great teacher like the centaur itself, a being which has grown beyond the animal level, a being which now uses its animal body only in order the sooner to reach the great goal it clearly ices ahead. Its thoughts cut like lightning through the heavy clouds of darkness and ignorance. It passes its experience on to the next generation. In the sign of the goat the divine child, universal love, is born in man's heart. It becomes identical with divine self and conscious in it. As the divine child that has been born in his heart becomes visible, man becomes clear as crystal. In his words and deeds, he reveals universal love. In the water bearer the creature pours out and scatters its treasures. It has become the shining, resplendent child of God standing above and beyond sexuality. Radiating itself, it is the source of the highest divinely spiritual power, the process of transformation and dematerialization begins. In the sign of the fishes the living creature experiences a reunification with its hidden complementary half. This means, of course, that matter is disintegrated. The creature returns to its heavenly home, to universal unity, to God. Its consciousness glides over into cosmic consciousness, it casts off its body, and ends its earthly life. That's the path that every individual follows, even though he may not yet have reached the highest levels of consciousness. The steps of development may be different, but the circle of development is always the same. Now let's look at how the opposite signs of the zodiac supplement each other. The powerful, impulsive strength of the ram is regulated by the law of the balance which tames the ram's blind forces and guides them into the right channels. The bridal power of the sign of the bull supplements and satisfies the instinctive procreative urge of the scorpion. The maternal power of the crab, retiring to the shelter of its own hearth and home, is the complementary other half of the crystallizing, parturient radiation of the goat. The newly born child belongs to mother. The paternal radiation of the lion finds its other half in the childlike power of the water bearer. The father supports, protects and educates the child. The youth in the sign of the twins, with his eagerness to learn, receives the knowledge he is thirsting for from the great teacher, Centaur. The heavenly virgin, bearing the divine child in her holy womb, receives nourishment from the mystic world of the two fishes. Now you understand the radiations of the four faces of God in the varying effects of the different constellations. But in order to understand the life of the universe and the lives of the myriads of living creatures, including your own, you need to know that the circle of revelation, with its 12 centers of power, affects every point of the universe independently of the constellations. And because the four faces of God can never turn around, each constellation emits different radiations of power in the various directions of the sky. Thus the radiation is determined by the everlasting, never-changing direction of the four faces. Let's take the constellation of the lion for example. In the direction of the south it emits the radiation characteristic for the lion, while towards the opposite side, to the north, it sends out the power of the water bearer, in a westerly direction, that of the eagle, towards the east, that of the bull, in the north-northwesterly direction, that of the virgin, towards west-northwest, that of the balance, and so on, a different radiation in each direction. Now you understand that these radiations are not dependent on displace of a group of stars, but rather on the direction from which they come. Just like the wind has different effects, depending only on the direction in which it blows, not on the place in which it starts. And now here's another very important fact, because everything manifests itself outwardly from its own center, and because the four faces of God radiate absolutely equally and unchangeably from every point, everything, whether it's a central sun, a planet, plant, animal, protozoan or human being, is always in the center of two wheels, in the center of the great cosmic wheel and, since this center is identical with the center of the individual being concerned, also in the center of one's unmanifested being, one's own inner wheel. We receive the radiations of the great cosmic wheel from the outside while those of our own wheel are emitted from the inside. We are identical with the situation of the earth which has fallen out of the divine being. The earth is not in a central spot in the universe, but rather a satellite of the sun, orbiting around the sun and rotating about its own axis. That's why we see everything in the universe as the exact opposite of what it is in reality, in the divine state of being. Seen from our position on the earth, the whole vault of stars, with all its cosmic systems, solar systems and planets, appears to rotate around us. But in reality the opposite is happening. It's not the vault of stars that's rotating around us, but rather our Earth that is orbiting around the Sun, our Sun with our entire solar system moving in a larger orbit around a cosmic Sun, and the latter, with all of its cosmic system, moving around a central Sun, and so on in ever greater orbits and ever greater cosmic systems, on and on into infinity. And even the life of celestial bodies in cosmic systems is nothing other than movement and development in the great cycles of the four faces of God in the zodiac. But just remember that every manifestation, every created form, regardless of where it is in the universe, carries within itself both the great cosmic wheel and its own little wheel, irrespective of whether it's a protozoan, a plant, an animal, a human being or celestial body. You'll consider this quite a matter of course when you understand that every point of the universe radiates the same 12-fold manifestation of the four faces of God, without these latter being able to change their position. The radiations of energy which we receive from the great cosmic wheel come to us from the outside, that's why we see the circle wrong side too, just like a mirrored reflection of the divine condition of being. Because the vault of stars, as seen from our standpoint on the Earth, is always in motion. There is a corresponding change going on constantly in the composition of radiations reaching the Earth from all the countless stars moving along their individual paths in the gigantic cosmic wheel.